Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the Senior Pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
Amen. Amen. Well, resurrection life, it's about something that was dead being resurrected, made alive again. And what's so interesting is you may not have thought about this, but resurrection actually happens in Scripture a lot. There is quite a lot of resurrecting happening in the Bible. The first example we see is with Elijah the prophet, and there is a widow whose child passes away, and the prophet Elijah says to God, "Let this child's soul come into him again." And the child is resurrected and comes back to life. And then Elijah's apprentice, Elisha, has a similar story where a woman's son passes away and Elisha goes and lies next to the child and prays for the child. And what's interesting about this resurrection is that the child sneezes seven times and then is around. He's resurrected. Then we get a crazy resurrection where Elisha, who helped through the power of God raise this child to life, he is now dead, and a dead body lands on Elisha's bones, and that dead body comes to life and runs off. Then in the New Testament, we get a famous resurrection, which is the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11. And this is Jesus' friend who passes away, and his sisters are pleading with Jesus to do something and wondering where he's been. And Jesus says this, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus at that resurrection speaks to who he is and says that "I am the resurrection." Now we've got to remember that Jesus is saying to the people there and to us through the scripture, "I am the resurrection." Now, for there to be a resurrection, something has to die. Which is such a strange statement to say, "I am the resurrection," when he has not yet died. But this is a theme, a thread throughout all of this, that in order for resurrection to truly take place, first death must take place. We get another story where a young boy is dead, and Jesus has mercy on the family, has compassion for them, and that child is raised to life by the power of God. Famous story, Jairus' daughter, he comes to Jesus, his daughter's passed away, and she too is raised again. When Jesus Christ died, I don't know if you've read this portion of scripture before, but various saints in Jerusalem were raised from the dead en masse. It says in the Bible, the earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open when Jesus died. And those open tombs remained open until the third day. And what's so interesting is all the people that were raised to life when Jesus passed away, it says that they began to witness about the life that only Jesus can give, which makes sense because they were dead. Imagine seeing someone that you knew was dead, then come out and say, "Hey, Jesus has life that only Jesus can bring." You'd believe it because they were dead. Now they're alive. In the book of Acts, Tabitha is raised. There's a great story that encourages me as a preacher where the Apostle Paul preaches for so long that someone falls asleep, falls out of a window and dies. And the Apostle Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raises that person to life. His name was Eutychus. Shout out to Eutychus. Anyone ever been in a message so long that you fell asleep and fell out a window? That's... I heard it's not a problem because we'll just raise you again. That's what the Bible says. And then the most important resurrection in Scripture absolutely is when Jesus Christ is resurrected. He was dead, but he didn't stay dead. He was raised to new life. And it's because of that that the message in Scripture about the resurrection that you and I can have is possible. That you and I can have resurrection life because Jesus was resurrected. I got 4 points that are going to come up. It's this: he can resurrect, he is resurrection, he is resurrected, and he's calling you to resurrected life. We've got that slightly wrong there, but I don't mind it being there twice, which is he can resurrect, he is resurrection, he is resurrection, He is calling you to resurrected life. But that is what Scripture teaches us. It teaches us that by the power of God, resurrection is possible, that it's done by the work of God, and that it's attainable for you. Now, you might be sitting here tonight and say, Jordan, that is great news, but why is it relevant to me? Because I'm sitting here tonight alive. Well, I'm going to try and unpack that tonight. Why it is important and of value to you tonight that you have resurrection life available in Jesus Christ. John 11, 25 to 26 says, when Jesus was at Lazarus's tomb, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus here doesn't merely say that he will bring about the resurrection or that he will be the cause of the resurrection, even though both are true, but he's making a statement of something much stronger. He is the resurrection. Resurrection from the dead and genuine eternal life in fellowship with God are so closely tied to Jesus that they are embodied in him and can be found only in relationship with him. Resurrection from the dead and genuine eternal life, Jesus Christ embodies those things. He is the resurrection. The Bible tells us no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the resurrection and the life. And so I got 3 points for us tonight, and the first point is this, is resurrection life means for us that what was dead is now alive. You might be thinking, duh, that's what resurrection life is, but what does that mean for us? It says this in Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. This passage is entitled, Made Alive in Christ. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us, prepared in advance for us to do. Everybody, the Bible tells us that we were dead in our transgressions. We were dead in our sin, but we have been made alive in Christ. Because of Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection, our life now can receive true purpose, true meaning, true power, and we can experience life abundantly. What sin came to destroy, what the enemy and our desire sought to put to death through our sin, because of Christ, we can experience life. We can truly live. We can go from existing to living. We can go from being a slave to our passions and our desires, a slave to our sin, to then experiencing true freedom. We can go from having death awaiting us to having life eternal awaiting us because of Christ's resurrection. I can step out of a dead life and into resurrection life because of Jesus Christ. If you think about the perspective that humans have on life, it can boil down to, I'm declining into the grave. Now, people might not say this, but essentially the idea is that as we get older, you know, we get less healthy, we get less active, time erodes, we have less time, and things decline into the grave. However, as a Christian, someone who has faith in Jesus, it's very different. My view on it is that I'm transforming into eternity rather than that I'm declining into the grave. I believe that my best days are ahead, and I will be able to say that on my last breath because my life will continue in heaven with God the Father because of the resurrection. My life is not declining, my life is moving forward. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in Philippians as well, is that he continues to move forward heavenward by the power of God, by the grace of God, walking in resurrection power. I'm not hoping that things get better. I know that they will because of Jesus. You and I need to make a shift from I'm declining into the grave to I'm transforming into eternity. Number two is this, is what was impossible is now possible. What was dead is now alive. What was impossible is now possible. Romans 6, verse 1 to 14, this passage is entitled Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. It says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. Can someone say amen? Amen. We can live in resurrection power where we now live life by the Spirit. We live life empowered by the Spirit of God. The Bible says the same power, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus lives in me. And it lives in us, not just to do the supernatural. You know, when I was young and I was a Christian and I wanted to walk in the resurrection power of God, I wanted that to give me the ability to multiply lunch, to change someone's hair color, all that kind of stuff. But you know what the power of God will really help you do is walk in freedom from sin. It'll help you walk away from those things that seek to bind you and control you. What was impossible before is now possible because of the resurrection power that we can live with. I would love the supernatural power to make someone grow an extra finger. But you know what I have experienced is supernatural power to resist temptation, to resist the enemy, to understand the Word of God. And there'll be many of you here tonight where when you read the Bible, it doesn't make sense. It's like you're reading in a different language. I want to tell you that when the resurrection power of God comes to your life, it will all start to change. The Bible will be illuminated to you where things start to make sense. God wants to give you that power. God wants to give you that ability to read and understand the Word of God. God doesn't want you to walk around in your life feeling unempowered by your faith. You should be empowered by your faith in your everyday life. It's all good to believe for that car park bay at Ocean Keys, but also the supernatural power of God is going to help you to stop lying. The supernatural power of God is going to help you to abstain. The supernatural power of God is going to help you with your self-control, with your language, all that stuff. What was impossible before is now possible because of resurrection life, resurrection power. If you have found yourself giving up on a certain endeavor or pursuit in your life, you got to understand that if it felt impossible before, with God, it is possible. The Bible tells us that what is impossible with man is possible with God. What was not possible to resist before will be possible now because of the power of God in your life. And just in case I wasn't clear, believe for the supernatural in all of that amazing stuff, signs and wonders, but believe for the supernatural power of God, the resurrection power, to help you in your day-to-day life, in living as a believer, in being an example, in sharing your faith, in loving your family, in loving your church family, God's power wants to help you there as well. What seemed impossible is now possible because of resurrection life. This is my favorite point, the third one. What was closed is now open. What was dead is now alive. What was impossible is now possible. And what was closed is now open. I love the imagery at Easter that you do see around the place, which is that of an empty tomb, of an open grave. And I do believe that that was the original intent of a chocolate Easter egg, was to somehow show an empty... Okay. Maybe not, by the sound of the room. But the imagery at Easter that we do celebrate of that of an empty tomb, it also speaks to an open invitation. What does that mean? There's now not a demand for participation, but there is now an invitation from God. And what I mean by that is we talked over Easter about the Passover in the Old Testament, where God's righteous judgment was coming to Egypt, and what people had to do at Passover was sacrifice an animal, and the sacrificed blood would go over the household. And when that judgment came, it would see that something has died, and it would see that there has been something paid, that the blood has been spilt, so that the righteous judgment would pass over. And what that was that their action of sacrificing an animal, their action reflected their participation. They have participated. They have opted in, and so then they were included. What's so great for you and I today, and what I mean by what was closed is now open, is that Christ's action reflects your invitation. It's not that your action reflects, hey, I've participated and now I'm in. It's actually an empty tomb is speaking to you and I that Christ has done it. He has finished the work, and you're invited to partake of that resurrection power. There's a great scripture in the book of Revelation where God is speaking to a church, and he says to this church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And it speaks to that God is wanting to get into his own church, but he is proactively engaging in wanting to commune with these people and connect with these people. And that extends, that truth extends to us, that God is actively pursuing relationship with us. He is actively engaged in the pursuit of having relationship with his people. Whereas in the time of the Old Testament with the Passover, we had to do the knocking, we had to do the work, we had to express our effort to connect with God. We now live under the grace of Jesus Christ, that he is standing at the door and knocking. Whereas before our own action reflected our participation, now Christ's action reflects to you and I an invitation. It's an invitation to partake of his resurrection power, of his grace, of his love, to, as I said at the start, partake in his resurrection and in his sufferings, which is a concept Pastor Deeb is going to unpack next week. There's a great evangelist in England who I love. His name's Jay John. And he's got a powerful testimony of how he came to faith. And it was actually through that scripture where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he read that and he felt the knock of God in his life. He felt that God was knocking on the door of his heart to say, "John, I want relationship with you." But he explains it really well, that he felt there was so much clutter in his heart and in his mind and in his soul that he felt there was a barrier between him and Jesus Christ. But he felt this knocking. And so in his testimony, he shares how in his bedroom at university, he was on his knees and he invited God to bash the door down. He said, "God, if you're knocking, I can't open it. There's so much stuff in my heart. Would you bash the door down?" And he said that in a moment, he felt God's love just rush into his heart. And in that moment, through his decision, his response to the invitation of Jesus Christ, he experienced salvation. And I believe there's people here tonight that this week and in your life, you feel the knock of God. You feel that God is pursuing you, that he's desiring relationship with you. I want you tonight to just let him in. And if you feel like there's so much stuff in my heart that I feel I'm too far from God, just ask him to break the door down. He has done so much. He can do more. He wants you to be in relationship with him. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. Would you answer that call tonight? You know, I said before how there has to be a death for there to be a resurrection. And there was. Jesus truly did die, and he truly did rise again. And there's an invitation for you and I to also die. There's an invitation for our old self to be put to death so that we can be resurrected. For us to experience resurrection life, we also have to respond to God's invitation to put our old self to death. Now, for some of us, that's an easier thing to do than others because we might really not like who we are. We might not like the things that we've done. And there's an amazing biblical truth for us right there that our old self can be put to death and we can rise into new life, into who God called us to be. And for some of us, it's like, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to put my old self to death. You need to know that all of us needed Jesus Christ's sacrifice and his gift. If we were good enough, God would not have sent his son. If by our own merits we could have salvation and forgiveness, Jesus would not have come. If we could enter into heaven by any other way, Jesus would not have come. It's when we die to ourselves and die to our own efforts to be good enough or to connect with God is that we have the possibility to truly experience resurrection life, where our sin is put to death, our old self is put to death, and we can step into new life, a new creation. And it tells us in the Bible that anyone that is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. I want to stir you tonight. You don't just need an improvement in your life. You need a supernatural transformation. You need supernatural forgiveness, supernatural salvation. You need resurrection life. And we can only receive it by Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us. And special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus, both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member. And let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.